Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't see anybody over here, so I guess I'll have to stand this way. It's always wonderful to be with the folks down here, and of course we've got plenty of others that are with us in other ways. We just thank God for His goodness. And I've had, knowing that we were going to be here, I've had many thoughts go through my mind. You know, you could always talk about the end of the age and where we're at and all the stuff that's going on, but I think we're pretty aware of that. But I don't know, my mind went back to something that I feel is perhaps very relevant to us right now. It certainly is to me. And I actually ministered on this general subject or this general truth several weeks ago. But I feel like I need to revisit it. And so I'm going to go ahead, I think, and turn this time. I'll start in the book of Hebrews. And right toward the beginning of the book, I want to get to something in chapter 2. But we see here the writer is concerned, I guess, in general, I'll just summarize a little bit. The writer is concerned with people who had grown up under the law but didn't realize the dramatic transition that had happened. That all of that had been a preparation for what was happening now, and Christ had come, and that was the it, and that was the new covenant, and we needed to let the past go and embrace Christ. And so he begins by focusing on who this Jesus is, and how he is the very Son of God, the one that perfectly represents the invisible God. He's the one that this is the only way we know anything about God, really, because he's revealed perfectly in Jesus Christ, his Son. And we realize also it's revealed that what we see in the creation was actually created by him. He was there before all that happened, and everything, all the beauties that we see, even in its corrupted state, he is ultimately the creator. And of course, he created us, didn't he? And so talk about somebody who deserves the place of preeminence in God's plan. Right. But God had a longer range plan than just getting us to this point. Sure. He's got a long range plan that is absolutely unfolding. And so, well, for example, in verse 10 of chapter 1, he says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain." I mean, that's just a simple reminder that something that I tend to say a lot, that we live in a temporary world. That God has a long-range purpose that involves what we're experiencing now, but this is not the end game. And all that you see, everything that people value, all that they're trying to preserve so desperately, it's all going to be gone. It will be burned up when the Lord's done with it, and boy, praise God, hurry up. Save everyone you're going to save in the meantime. Don't leave anybody out. I know you won't, but I believe more and more there's a lot of us that are just ready for that to happen. But the Lord knows the time and the place. It says, "They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed." It's almost like the Lord's going to take his clothes off and put on new ones. What an interesting way to put that. "But you remain the same, and your years will never end." And of course, then he talks about how he's greater than the angels and all of that. But down in verse 2, of course, he warns about the danger of knowing about this but not really acting on it. May God help anybody who hears this. The truth of the gospel is absolutely the dividing line between life and death. There's no question. You're either going to live with him forever and be a part of what he's planned, or be ended forever. Praise God. All right. So anyway, it is not to angels, verse 5. It is not to angels. Now, they have their place, but it's not to angels that he has, listen to these words, subjected the world to come about which we are speaking. So there's a world to come, and somebody's going to rule over that. Okay? That's what this is about. There is a place where someone has testified, so he quotes from the Old Testament, "What is mankind that you are mindful of him? A son of man that you care for him." I mean, you know, we all feel our weakness and our all that we're not, and we look around. God, how could you care about somebody like us? That's incredible. Wow. Now that's what he's talking about. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him. But now, listen to this. You made him, made them a little lower than the angels. And I think the sense that most people get from that is for a little while. In other words, it's a temporary situation. Right now, we're the angels serve us. And they're over us in that sense. But I'll tell you, that's not the end game. God's got something in mind that I believe he wants us to be much more aware of than perhaps we are. All right, you made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. God, I think the other time I ministered on this, we titled it Created to Rule. God is going to have a world to come. Well, let me say this. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. What an incredible destiny that God has for us. Obviously, that's not what we see now. That's what he goes on and talks about. But I wonder, praise God, I wonder if you've ever stopped to consider that every single person here who has truly been born of God, you've got his eternal life living on the inside, brand new heart, brand new life. Your destiny is to be a ruler over some portion of a brand new perfect creation. Think about that. God's going to say, there it is. There's your place. You rule over that. You're in charge. You ever stop to think about it like that? That's what God is preparing every single one of us for. It is baked into our DNA. We were not made to be slaves. God planted within us the ability to think, to reason, to rule. You can go back and see in the beginning. Just look at a couple of scriptures that we know about from Genesis chapter 1, right? Go all the way to the beginning. And you see how God created everything else. But then God said in verse 26 of Genesis 1, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." So why? "So that they may rule." And now he specifically says, "over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and so forth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. That takes us all in. So God absolutely said, here's this beautiful creation. Somebody needs to rule over this and govern it. And so he had creatures who were absolutely brought forth in his image. We have minds to think. We're able to reason. We're able to make choices. In other words, we are equipped by our very creation to be rulers. Now, I'm well aware that there are folks out there who take this and run with it and come up with all kinds of crazy ideas. You ever heard of dominion theology? God created us to have dominion. And so we're supposed to go out there and start exercising that ruling authority. How many of you remember years ago listening to a Jim Cimbala message? And he talked about a bunch of folks that believe that sort of thing, and they were going to convene in San Francisco and have a conference. And by God, they were going to drive the devil out of San Francisco. Well, good luck with that. Even Jesus didn't go and drive the devil out of Jerusalem. I mean, there's a time and a place for everything. But the thing is, God is still got a, there's a reality to this, though, that we act like victims. We act like slaves or something when God wants us to learn how to exercise God-given authority. And everything that's happening in this world is meant to transition from what we were born in as Adam, under Adam's family, and to get us ready for what's coming. Amen. Praise God. Anybody here want to be ready for that? Yes. Praise God. And just to give one little hint, okay, of the power that God invested in the human, in human life. Look at over in chapter 11 of Genesis. What an interesting little thought that this is. And of course, this is where we see all the human beings of that day gathering in a place, particular place in the Middle East somewhere. And they said, come, verse 2, come to get, let's make bricks and make them thoroughly, bake them thoroughly. They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that they may make a name, we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Okay, wonder what the inspiration was behind that. Do you see that kind of same kind of inspiration trying to operate in our world today? Because the problem with what happened, we know in the beginning, God gave them all that authority, and they handed that authority over to an enemy of God. We know him as the devil or Satan. That's why Satan is called the god of this world. We had, Adam and Eve had real divine authority given to them. They handed that authority over to Satan. He became the god of this world, and even Jesus acknowledged that. He's the one that's in charge of the world system. I mean, even God recognized that he had genuine authority over mankind because they had yielded God-given authority to him. Boy, that's a principle there that we need to understand. I believe the Lord's helping us to understand some of that. Okay? But listen to what the Lord says about this. You want to know what kind of potential mankind has, even in his corrupt condition? But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Let that sink in. Even the Lord saying, I gave them this inborn ability to do, to plan, to rule, to do all this. And if I don't intervene here, there's nothing that's going to stop them. They're going to do anything they want to do. I thank God he knows how to intervene so that his purpose is absolutely fulfilled. But even God recognized what he had put in mankind had all this potential. God help us to understand who we are and allow God to use that potential for good. Because that's where he's going with this. So anyway, you remember the story and how God confused their language and they had to scatter, and that was the end of that dream. I thank God that he's going to intervene in this world. Because Satan is doing exactly the same thing today. He's trying to unite humanity under his leadership and drive every influence of God out of the earth. And God is allowing him to do his thing in this hour. But God has a people, doesn't he?
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.